And we're ready to blow the trumpet in Zion. Very good. That sounded very good. Must have... Were you doing that all the time? That sounded great. Just a natural at it. Well, anyway, we're one of Messiah congregation, Kahacha B'Mashiach, just a little piece of the Israel of God. And today's another Sabbath, and it's the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So let's ask God to bless and anoint this study. Heavenly Father, King of the universe, come before you today, living God, asking you first to cover us in your holy blood of any sin, any blemish, anything that would displease you. We just thank and praise you. We could be here today in this century proclaiming the truth of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And I thank God that you've given us another Sabbath so we can study and learn more about you, Father. Bless and anoint everyone here. I pray you'll touch them today, increase their faith. Give them wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the fear of God. I pray that you'll heal their bodies and their minds and their souls and bring us nearer to you, Father. Make us more like you. And I thank God for the example of the unleavened bread. And I thank God for everything you give us in Yeshua's name. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Well, here we are on Maple Street again on the first day of unleavened bread. And everyone out there is working. That's too bad. But there's my phone numbers, there's the email, there's the website. And today is, believe it or not, April 2nd. And believe it or not, April stands for Aphrodite's month. Isn't that terrible? Aphrodite is a Greek goddess of love and beauty. She's identified with the Roman goddess Venus. So here we have a whole bunch of paganism that we use the word April like it was no big deal, but it really has a lot of meaning to it. Moving right along, we acknowledge the calendar of God. We're in the, we're in the 15th day of Nisan, the first day of unleavened bread. And there it is right there, Ha'aviv. Hayom etem yotzim bechodesh. Ha'aviv, yes. There it is. And I just wanted to go over the short review again of the holy days and feasts. Well, we did the Passover already. We all know that. And today is the first day of the daytime hours of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Started last night. And it's going to go all the way to the 21st of Ha'aviv, or it's going to end on Sunday the 8th. And Sunday the 8th happens to also be first fruits, which is very unusual. So we're going to have first fruits and the last Holy Convocation, the Mikra Kodesh, on the Sunday, which is very, very unique. Anyway, and then moving forward, if the Lord allows us, we'll be on our seven-week journey again, spiritually, of making ourselves ready to meet the God of Israel and accepting the commandments and also receiving the Holy Spirit, you know, which is really important spiritually, we're talking. And it's the Feast of Weeks, Feast of Harvest. And it's Pentecost, 50 days later. And that's either 50 days from, you can say, the resurrection of Yeshua, or from the first fruits, because he is the first fruits unto God. And it's 50 days later. So, hope you understand all those things. If you don't, later we can go through it again. And this is going to take us to the third month of God called Sivan. And the little Sivan, there it is right there. And if you parse that word down, like we like to do sometimes, and it's the sieve, means bright or splendid, and I'm sure it means other things, but for this occasion, I use those words. And that's going to be April 14th, a Sabbath, until May 27th, Sunday, a Sabbath. So that's another whole adventure a couple of months from now, which is very exciting to me because, you know, we get to see everyone's eyeballs and faces. We get to see Ethan, he's getting bigger. Pretty soon he'll be singing. Today's topic is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and it's actually called the Bread of Affliction. And pertaining to last night, when someone tried to present some bread that wasn't correct, the This is what was in my mind. It's the bread of affliction. And what are we trying to learn from this whole thing? The matzot, you know, oni or ani. And it's supposed to be a depression. You know, that is misery, afflicted, torment. You know, and that's what humble bread is. It's something different. And we have the word ana, means to depress, literally or figuratively, or intransitively, various applications, abase yourself, afflict, you know, deal hardly or defile, humble yourself, really. It's really important. And that's what I was trying, maybe I didn't bring it across correct, but I wanted to wait for today so we could have a little more understanding of this bread. It's, besides unleavened bread, it's the bread of affliction. Exodus, excuse me?
Mine really is.
Carrie's has, her bread is a little bit afflicting because it's so hard. Anyway, Exodus chapter 12 says, Yehovah spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of the month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. It's pretty amazing how they did it. If the house will be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make you count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, and you shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. So if it wanders in there, just go get it. And you shall keep it unto the 14th day of the same month. The whole assembly of congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And of course, we just did this in memorial. So I want to make sure everybody understands that. And they, not us, they took the blood and sprinkled it on the two side posts and the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in the night, which we did. We roasted it with fire and unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall eat it. And, you know, that's the only three items that are supposed to be present. There's nothing else. And I looked up that word sop this morning. The word sop just doesn't mean anything besides a morsel of a piece of bread that they dipped in something which we have no knowledge of. So whatever, you know, you could imagine, I don't want to add it to the scriptures, but a sop is actually a piece of morsel of bread, and they dipped it in something, which I don't know what they did. It says, eat not of it raw, never, nor sodden it at all with water, never, but roast with fire his head and his legs with the pertinence thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain unto the morning, and that which remaineth of it unto the morning you shall burn with fire. Thus shall you eat it with your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It's Yehovah's Passover. And it's a really frightening night, a night to be remembered, when he passed through the land of Egypt that night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt will execute judgment. I am Yehovah. It's a pretty frightening night. And the blood, which even the blood today, it shall be to you for a token upon the houses and upon our hearts today, wherein you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this is the God that we're concerned with. One that gets angry and one that gets very upset when you break his commandments. I mean, but he also at the same time loves you and has mercy upon you. And he also is very gracious and he's kind, you know. And that's why he's given this thing called a lifespan, that we can get it straight in whatever lifespan we got. And we don't have no excuse. You can't say, well, I didn't know, I didn't read it, or... You have to do it yourself, actually. You can't wait for someone else to tell you. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and it is for us for a memorial. And you shall keep it a feast to Yehovah throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days you're supposed to eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. But whosoever eats leavened bread from the first day unto the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Boy, that's a scary thought. That's just showing me that how severe sin is. God doesn't want any sin around, you know? And in the first day, there shall be a holy convocation. That's what we're doing right now and last night. And in the seventh day, there's going to be a holy convocation. That's why we're here. It's a public meeting, a sacred assembly. No manner of work shall be done in them. Only save means only the things that you, only that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. So we're allowed to eat and rejoice. Okay. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in the selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. And that's why we do it. It's a memorial. And most of the world don't know about this. In the first, and then God always says things over and over and over. And then he goes, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at even. 7 days shall be no leaven found in your houses, and whosoever eats that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. So there's only one way to do this, and it's for everyone. And then, of course, we go from Exodus, we go to Leviticus. I went to Leviticus, I should say. Leviticus, it says, Jehovah spoke. I like when it says, Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, he always, you know, you notice he doesn't speak unto the people directly. There's always the leader there. He says, I want you to go speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them concerning, these are the feasts of Jehovah. And you shall proclaim that which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. Even these are my feasts. And these are the three feasts that we all give an offering unto God. And these are the three so we don't appear before the Lord empty. And we make sure that we give an offering to God. It's very important. 6 days. And then he goes right into the Sabbath. Because the holy convocations are like a Sabbath. 6 days, work shall be done. But the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, a Shabbat Shabbaton. It's a mikvah kodesh, a holy convocation. You should do no work therein. It's the Sabbath of Yehovah and all your dwellings. And these are the feasts of Yehovah, even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons. So we don't do it when we have it's convenient for us or when we have time. Or we know a lot of other congregations, they just do it when it's convenient for them or they can get together. We just do it when we're supposed to. And then he goes right back into the whole thing again. He says, in the 14th day of the first month at even is Jehovah's Passover. And the 15th day of the same month in the is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto Jehovah. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. Now, I remember reading this. I always tell you guys, I remember reading this to a friend of mine. And I read them all. I mean, I read them all the verses about eating unleavened bread. And at the end he goes, do we really have to eat unleavened bread? And I was like, I don't even know what to say because, I mean, you could read this up everywhere and it's written so many times. The first day shall be a holy convocation. No servile work. What does that mean? We'll go over that. It says, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto Jehovah 7 days. In the seventh day, it's a holy convocation. You should do no civil work therein. So these guys did offerings every day. So some words of note. We have this word observe. Of course, I put shematem, which means you shall observe. That's in the plural. But it means to, basically, we're going to put a hedge around this and make no one interfere with us. And might even put thorns on it where they get pricked and try to bother us. And we're going to guard this and we're going to protect it and attend to it. Be circumspect. Make sure we're watching all around. And take heed to ourselves. We're going to mark it and observe it and preserve it and regard it. And that's what we're going to do. That's what the Shema means. You know the Shema? Well, that word Shema doesn't only mean listen. It means a lot of things. You know? And then we have this Zichron, this memorial. Zichron, a memento, a memorial thing, a day or writing. Something to be remembered. And you have to look in, of course, Exodus, and you have to look through the Bible. What are we trying to remember? And it's a record. There's a record in the Bible of us to review. That's why John always says you have to review the record. And I always think, I know it's in Tanakh. And then we have the word zachar, which is the prime root of zicharon. It means to mark, to be recognized, to be remembered, by implication, to mention. a lot of times a lot of people don't mention these things, so it's lost in the world. I mean, you know, we talk about it, we're mindful of it, we recount it, we record it. It's definitely being recorded. So you bring it to mind, you know, and all these things, all these words, you know, we make sure that it's remembered. Matter of fact, I even told a person yesterday they want to go turkey hunting. And I said, well, we're doing the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And of course, they don't even know what I'm talking about. And then they moved on to a different conversation, you know. Anyway. And it's really important that we're all here today because it's a Mikra Kodesh. And it's not just, you know, just saying that, a Mikra Kodesh. What in the world is that? It's an actual reading together, a calling together, a sacred assembly, something called out. We picked ourselves out, a public meeting of persons. It's actually a rehearsal of, gosh, we're rehearsing to be with the people of God throughout eternity one day. I always think, gosh, we better gotta make sure we get along here, because then we're going to be in eternity together. So we have to make sure we're all one, of one mind, one spirit, one accord. And one day, you know, even though now we see through a glass darkly, one day we'll meet the Lord face to face. And then I guess he'll explain to us what we, you know, what we have done down here. So holy means set apart to the God of Israel. Kodesh, and the Mikra is the public meeting, which is really important. Then we have this no sirval work, and I like saying Melechet Avodah, Melechet Avodah. So that's Avodah, work of any kind, any bond servant, labor, service, tillage, work, and no Melechet, that means occupation. So no public or domestic work of any type. You know, we're not going to get a paycheck anywhere today. You know, we're not going to go to work and do something for some, you know. Like, I'm not going to go, like that guy over there is cutting the grass today. That's work, you know. And then, of course, this moshav, you know, one way of looking at it, it's actually the seat, assembly, dwelling place, dwelling, your situation, location at the time of your dwelling. So wherever you may dwell today, it is the 15th of the Ha'aviv, and it's the Holy Convocations, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of the Bread of Affliction. Ugh. And this word, Moad, I know the word feast there has a different meaning. It's not Hag, it's actually the Moad, Moadei Yehovah, the Feast of Yehovah. And what it means, it's a fixed time. It's a certain season. It's a festival. It's by implication an assembly. See, all these words have similar meanings, even though they're different words. An assembly. It's a congregation, extension. It's a meeting place, a place of meeting, a signal. It's a sign. It's a certain time, a certain place, you know, a solemnity. Let's see. And you can look at the rest of this. It's a feast. So this type of thing, it's only done in God's time. And it's only in his seasons. And then we have, so I went from Exodus to Leviticus, and then 40 years later, it's the same story. And Deuteronomy, you got to remember, Deuteronomy is a recapitulation of the whole Torah. You know, it's just a rehashing and a reassessing and what in the world took, what happened and what did the people do. And we know some of it's pretty bad. But he opens up in 16 and he says, observe, there's that word observe again, the month Ha'aviv, and keep the Passover unto Yehovah your God, for in the month Ha'aviv, Yehovah your God brought you forth out of the land of Egypt by night. And I just thank God that God delivered us out of our Egypt, which is our last life of sin. And, you know, a lot of people don't even realize they were in sin, because maybe things were lovely and kind and flowery and beautiful, but it's still sin because it's not of God. And that's how tricky Satan is. He comes as this angel of light, tries to make things seem so pleasant and a cute voice and comfortable, and I'm on your side. And he's really trying to deceive you. And that's how you get tricked. So it says, thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover, Pesach, unto the Yehovah, Yehovah Elohecha. That's the Lord your God. I love that because a lot of times it has the plural in it too. It says the Lord your gods, and it's only one God. It says of the flock and of the herd in the place which Yehovah shall choose to place his name there. I don't know if you just knew what I just said. You know when it says God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? Even though it's in the construct form of the Hebrew, which you want to learn Hebrew, construct form, but that word is, it's really, if you looked at it with a real, you know, you want to explain what it really means, the gods of Abraham, the gods of Isaac, and the gods of Jacob. But there's only one God. It's just showing how God is so powerful and big and so wide and so amazing. So it uses a plural form. It says, thou shalt eat no leavened bread, chamatz. There it is. That's the leaven, that sin with it. 7 days you're supposed to eat unleavened bread, matzot. The matzah, or matzot. Even the bread of affliction. There's that bread of affliction. Matzot lechem oni. And that's it right there. Yeah. But thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou rememberest the day that you came forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of your life. So eating that bread isn't supposed to be a luxury. It's not a delicacy. We're supposed to be eating and going, this is the day that God brought our brothers and sisters in haste out of the land of Egypt. And it's like, whoa, it's a whole different feeling, a whole different thought. It isn't like a, you know, and we have to do that in memorial. And there shall no leavened bread be seen with you. I always think of no leavened bread seen with me. No sin. I don't want nothing around me. Yeah. It says, in thy coast, 7 days. So in our coast, we, you know, we'll make sure there's nothing around us. Neither shall there anything of the flesh which thou sacrificed the first day at even remain all night until the morning. Thou mayest not sacrifice the Passover within any of thy gates, which Jehovah thy God gives you, but at the place which Jehovah thy God shall choose to place his name in, there thou shalt sacrifice the Passover at even, at the going down of the sun, at the season, there's that season, that thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt. And obviously, you know, we pray all the time that God, you know, God gave us this place, and here we are, here we be, and we just thank God his Holy Spirit could be with us too. Thou shalt roast it in the place which Jehovah thy God shall choose, and thou shalt turn in the morning and go unto your tents. 6 days you're supposed to eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a solemn assembly to Jehovah your God. Thou shalt do no work therein. So being humble, this is what we're all talking about. This is what I'm talking about. And Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, it says, at that time came the disciples unto Yeshua, saying, I don't know why they would want, I mean, this is the last question I'd be thinking about. They want to know, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Yeshua called a little child, and said unto him, set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted, you have to be converted. You hear that word, converted? It has to be a real physical change spiritually and physically. You have to be converted and become as little children. We have to become little children again. You shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And humble doesn't mean weak, you know. Humble is like something that declares truth and Shema, it puts a wall around the truth and defends it and makes a stand. You know, that's being humble. Yeshua said to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Isn't that nice? They're so full of pride. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you to observe, if they read the Torah to you, that observe and do. But don't do after their works, because they say and do not. Okay? For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them one of their little fingers. But all their works do they do, guess what? To be seen of men. Everybody likes to be seen of men, of what they, all the little the things that they do. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the border of their garments. They make it such a big show of false holiness. And they love the utmost rooms at the feast and the chief seats in the synagogues. Synagogue is a house of study. And they love greetings in the markets and to be called Rabbi, Rabbi. And here's that direct prohibition from Yeshua himself. Do not be called Rabbi. And he's humble, and he's saying it very pointedly. For one is your master, even Messiah, and all of you are brethren. And for some other people, he said, call no man your father upon earth. And that means holy father. It doesn't mean your dad, okay? It says, for one is your father which is in heaven. And matter of fact, don't even be called masters. For one is your master, even Messiah. And anyway, he that's greatest among you shall be your servant. And that's what the way it really is. Anyone who wants to be the greatest has to become the servant of all. But whosoever exalts himself shall be abased. And he or she that shall humble themselves shall be exalted. So that's really important. That's why this bread is so important. It's bread of affliction, bread of humility. Luke 18 says, and he spake a parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. They trusted in themselves. Isn't that weird? Well, they trusted maybe in their relatives. Well, they trusted in their friends. And that they were righteous and despised others. That's really puffed up. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood praying thus with himself, God, I thank you. I am not as these other men, extortioners and unjust, adulterers, even this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess. And the publican, he's all over there, you know, just very humble. The publican standing afar off, he wouldn't even lift up his so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote on his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Whew. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased. He that humbles himself shall be exalted. Wow. And Yeshua said, very interesting, he said, he told the Philippians, in the time of the Philippians, Paul was writing, if there be therefore any consolation in Messiah, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that you be all like-minded. That's really important. We have to all be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, one mind. Oh, boy. I said, that's just like, it's very, I mean, just think, we all have to, like, if somebody looks at us, they go, oh, well, they all say the same thing. I don't even know who to talk to. I ask them a question, they're going to say the same, you're going to say the same, you're going to, what is this? Let nothing, you hear this, nothing, nada, is that Spanish, nada? Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves, right? Look not every man on his own things, but let every man look also on the things of others. In other words, let me be the servant of everyone. Let this mind be in you, which was in Messiah Yeshua. And he was the ultimate that did this, who being in the form of God, Yeshua was in the form of God. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Just think of that. He's God, and he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. Yuck. And being found in fashion as a man, He just humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wow. That's just amazing. If you ever really think about that, the eternal God became an actual man and humbled himself and died on a tree. Yeah, that's just incredible. Because he could find out there is no other way you could be saved, only through that name, Yeshua. There's no other name given under heaven whereby you must be saved. And being found, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I mean, obviously, he must have looked out into eternity and he's seen his seed prolonged his days, you know, and, you know, it just looked, no, knew it was worth it that he was dying. I mean, because I must be honest, I probably wouldn't die for a bunch of sinners. I don't know if they're ever going to change, right? Would you? Would you die for a bunch of sinners, devils, if you didn't know anything of who they were or what they're going to do? But Yeshua knew exactly what's going to happen because he knows the end from the beginning. He knows everything, actually. Paul tells the Colossians, put on, therefore, the elect of God. So you're going to put this on, you know, when you put your shirt on and your blouse or your pants. Put on, therefore, the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, long suffering, and forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any have a quarrel against any, even as Messiah forgave you, so also do you. It's that simple. Anything more than that wouldn't be of God. And above all these things, above everything, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And I guess charity, you know, you could say is the giving of yourself and the love of the commandments and the love of the holiness of God and being like Messiah, actually. Messiah is just like charity. James tells us, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, in the sight of Yehovah, and he will lift you up. Isn't that nice? He'll lift you up. Praise the Lord. Brother Luke, he said that Yeshua put forth a parable to those which were bidden when he marked how they chose out the chief room, saying, they choose out this chief room, saying unto them, when you're bidden by any person to a wedding, or anywhere for that matter, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable person than you come, and then thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lower seat. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lower seat. And when he that bade thee comes, he may say unto you, friend, come up hither, for thou shalt have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. Amen. So don't ever put yourself forth like, you know, whatever. Same old thing. All these people say the same thing. Whosoever exalts himself shall be abased. He that humbles himself shall be exalted. That's really important. That's really a lesson throughout the whole Bible, really. Saul tells Timothy, rebuke not an elder, but treat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. The elder women, their mothers, the younger sisters. This is talking in the Lord. This isn't talking in your age. This is talking in the Lord. The elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity, right? Peter tells us, likewise, you younger. He says, submit yourself unto the elder. So if God puts a little group together and there's an elder, a person that's elder, what are you supposed to do? Fight them? No, it says, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of us, we're all subject one to another. And we're supposed to be clothed with humility. Because God resisteth the proud and gives grace unto the humble. Right? Humble yourselves, therefore, unto the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You know, it's interesting, you know, whoever you are that may be younger, one day you're not going to be younger. And there's going to be somebody younger unto you, and you're going to be saying the same thing. I've been here for 5 years, and you just showed up. And I want to tell you something. Now, I'm not saying you're saying everything that's wrong, but I might have a little more wisdom than you. So, and then that's going to happen. It happens to everyone. It's called a procession of, you know, if you want to call it the changing of the ranks, you know, it's a procession. This keeps going forward. One day you're younger, next, before you know it, you're not anymore. You're older. And then you have to be, and that goes spiritually and physically too. And we're supposed to cast all our care upon the Messiah, for he cares for you. That's really important. Whether you know it or not, just think of that. He actually cares for us. That's really amazing to think of. Be sober. Be vigilant. You have an adversary, whether you like it or not. It's called the devil. He's a roaring lion. He's walking about spiritually. He's seeking people whom he may devour. We're supposed to resist him steadfast in the faith. We're supposed to recognize the devil. So get up. Get out of here. Anyway, Yeshua's lesson, he says, now, this is Luke 23, 22, now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And there was also strife among them, which of them should be the greatest. This is different than the other question. The other question was, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Now they want to know who's the greatest amongst us. That's a silly question. When he's doing the Passover, and unleavened bread's coming, and they want to know who's the greatest. Is that ridiculous or what? And he said unto them, he said, you know, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But you shall not be so. For whoever of you wants to be the greatest, let him be as the younger, or he that is chief, as he that doth serve. That's a good lesson. So whether is greater, he that sits at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sits at meat? He said, but I, Yeshua, am among you as he that serves. Wow. Wow. So even though we might be elder, we still have to be a servant of all. And we have to make sure we, you know, understand this. In closing, this short study, it's not a long study today. Please learn the lesson of the feast of unleavened bread, the bread of affliction, being humble as Messiah was. And that's all I could say. Join us later for a study. Shalom, everyone. Grace be unto you. Amen. From Minister Malachi, me. Hope you got something out of this quick little study. So whoever you may be, this is a lesson for all of us. It's not for one person. It's for me, too. I'm the one who reads it first and got it. You got to be humble, and you got to be, you got to know what to do, when to do it, and how to do it, and do it right. And we all have to be of one mind. You can't sneak around and say, well, let's do something behind someone's back, because there's no behind the back. God sees everything. I remember some people in the past said, let's do it behind the Benettis. Don't let the Benettis know. And I thought, don't let the Benettis know. That doesn't get me mad. I just think, I wonder what God thinks about that. So whatever you do, be open, because it's going to be revealed, and God knows exactly. There's no secrets or all that stuff people think. Anyway, just make sure whatever you have to say, say it. If you think something's not correct, bring it up. Let's discuss it. That's all. That's how simple it is. If you think something's not right, let's talk about it. If you think, I always ask people if there's anything wrong on my website, you better discuss it now. Otherwise, you're guilty by hiding it or just conferring with someone else. That's sneaking around So if anyone has any discrepancies that you feel there might be, let's talk it over. Because we're supposed to be one mind, one spirit, one body, one elder. And remember, there's a protocol in the congregation. That's real. That's just the way life is. Just like there's a protocol in a family. You don't have the kids run the parents around, do you? The kids go, right? The kids are not supposed to run the parents. They shouldn't be, right? So, I mean, that's the same way it is in a body. The younger submit themselves unto the elder, whoever the elder may be. And it's a big task to be in charge of a few, you know, to be in a little congregation. And I thank God that we had all those letters to show that people, you know, there was all these little groups in their house, but the person that was, you know, the one that was hosting the place, he's the one that has to make sure everything's ready and everything's prepared and everything's correct and everything's, you know, running right and making sure there's order and making sure that everything's going straight. You can't just, the whole place can't just go, everyone just do your own thing because I love you. That's stupid. I mean, that's the devil tricking you. There has to be a certain way to do things, you know, and that's the way it is. And it's good to have a little groups, you know, little groups wherever you may be. And if you can ever get a couple of people to join you, start your own little satellite group. And remember, if you guys don't know answers, you can always call the home base. And if we know the answer, we'll help you. If we don't know, we'll tell you we don't know either. So, but anyway, I thank you for being here today. And we still got the rest of the week of unleavened bread. And yeah. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for forgiveness of sins through the blood of Yeshua. And let us always be mindful that you are watching us and you're around us and you see us and you're just right there, Father. And let us always speak the things that please you. Bless and anoint the rest of this day. Bless the food. Bless the singing, what we do. And bless everyone today with joy of the Lord, which is our strength. And we thank God that we could be here on this public meeting, this sacred assembly, this Mikra Kodesh, Father. Thank you for everything, and thank you for brothers and sisters. And I pray, Lord and God, that you'll show us where some more brothers and sisters are. We'll get them or bring them to us. So whatever way you want to do it, Father, I just praise you and thank you for another Feast of Unleavened Bread. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone, and God bless you. I'm going to stop the... I'm going to stop the video. Let me say goodbye to everyone. Shabbat Shalom. And I'll stop the audio in a minute. Let me make sure this is stopped. Got all these things to stop. Anybody have any questions or comments or anything you want to say? This is your chance.